You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2019 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the second class in a series given by Brother Norm Fidel on the subject, Embracing the First Letter of Peter. This class is titled, You Are a Royal Priesthood.
If you would kindly take out your yellow sheet, if you can find that. It's made easy for you to look at it. The front of it, this talks about the overview, just to remind you that chapter 1 that we've read here, it just happens to be day 1, so chapter 2 for day 2. Chapter 2, the significant verses are verse 9 and 5 in chapter 2. Statement, you are a royal priesthood. This is now building on chapter 1 where it says, you, or we, have been born again. Against already two verses for that, if you remember. Born anew could be born again, born from above. Those are Bible terms. You got the idea in your discussion. It's a complete start, and it's a cleansing start in chapter 1 as the theme. So now, when we come here to chapter 2, it says, let me tell you about your status. Where do you stand before God? So it's a privileged status, and you've already been given jobs to do. So that's what is the aim, the title. That's what I hope that you get out of our study. I have a few remarks. So if you turn to your white sheet, that should be on the top of it saying class 2, disciple status. That's where I'm making my comments from. So I'll just start from there. Sometimes I just tell you what I think it says because you can read. Sometimes I read it because I said, wow, whoever wrote that did a good job. I think I'll just read it. I don't know if it's ever happened to some of you come across and say, that was really good. And you say, I can't ever remember saying that, number one. And you look and says, I can't ever imagine me actually writing that. So this gets into inspiration, not that I'm divinely inspired, but sometimes you're just there and you're doing it and you hear and you mix all these stuff together. This is the creative stuff at a Bible school, and it's a note, and you come back and say, wow, you know, that was really good. The real smart thing is you wrote it down because you never remember again. Anyhow, here's some of the comments that I like to make on our status. It's a wonderful thing. Again, chapter 1, he's been describing, telling the brothers and sisters in Asia about being born again. It's to a living hope, 1:3, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and born again of imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. So you notice there's two things that they're born again with. It's not the same thing, the same cause, but it's a reinforcing matter. And so you look at yourself and say, can that be? It's like, how can a man be born again? Like, listen to God. He can do it. How can I be renewed in my spirit? That's what God does all the time. So if we ever think we're in a hopeless place, this is no. The born again with water and spirit, that's usually a one-time thing. But being renewed in the spirit happens all the time. So that aspect is there all the time. Just to read, this act of spiritual birth was driven by the mercy of God, caused by his will, again in verse 3, and that will is a vital aspect in becoming God's child. And that's stated in, going over to John in chapter 1, where it says, these are the sons of God that are brought as a result of believing in Jesus. Now, point, pretty straightforward, but just to remind yourself, Jesus was literally and exclusively the only begotten Son of God. So it's him, and then there's the rest of us. But there's a lot in common. I say it is a big deal in capitals because becoming a Son of God, which he was, Jesus, this is what happens to sons and daughters of God. They go through the same type of born-again experience. this is from the flesh and so on. We know Jesus is unique, but it's of the same kind and it's deliberate. That's why Jesus calls us brethren. So I put in the references there, John 3, about 3 to 7. But the fact of being a spiritual child of God, my point of view, fundamental. It's a fundamental teaching of Scripture. And it's the foundation that establishes the status that you're in the family. You're in there, but if you're in there and you just sit in the corner, or you're in there and do nothing, it's like, well, why am I part of the family? But it's not like that. You're in. You're welcome. Hey, have we got stuff for you to do? In fact, this afternoon, you've got all these workshops. Things to do. You can go nap. You can do all these. So it's a great thing. So the next paragraph here, being a disciple of Jesus is a baseline status. That is, you got to get there. But once you're there, a whole bunch of things. It's a new level, new opportunities. And it makes sense. Makes sense because if you're not prepared for it, if you're not committed to it, then it's really, really hard. So in that sense, God knows us and he says, if it's taken you time to get there, that's okay. And even after you're baptized, if you're working, that's okay because I'm working with you. I know you've got that job, but it's a new job. You're going to make mistakes. Sometimes you get really, oh, I'm finally in. If you've been baptized, you get the load. And then you become much more aware of mistakes and sins number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,000. You're suddenly much more aware of who you are. But now that's a good thing. And he says, okay, we'll deal with problem area number 2 and 3 today, 4 and 5, and for the rest of our life. So I'm trying to, just to put in sensibility here, God doesn't push us in a situation that we are not prepared for. But once we're prepared for, we get into the discipline. And he says, I won't put you into anything that you can't get through, but my discipline is far different than yours. Because you would lay in bed all day or opt out, and that's not my way. So up, out, they got a bell way. You have people that come and say, phone you up. God puts things in your life that you are in it for the work and the development because he loves us. So if you think that, oh, now I can rest. Now I'm in a safe place. That's not what happens. Now, God is a safe place, but as far as your work and development and activity, you are in it for a great ride, and it's a wonderful thing. So that's what I'm trying to talk about. In the list that's beyond below there, which starts off with a newborn infant and certain things. But now it says, okay, you are alive. You exist. You are part of a spiritual house. As part of the spiritual house, you are in the holy priesthood. Boom. Holy priesthood. I know about the holy priesthood. I know all about the Levites. Now I am in the Levitical priesthood. No. So pause there. What priesthood are you now in? Melchizedek, right. Oh, big, big, big difference. Jesus starts it. So, but I'm a kid. You know, I'm not a man. So, we're not talking about that at all, right? Old or young, doesn't matter the Gentile, your background, none of that counts anymore. Male, female, doesn't count anymore. You are a priest. When does our priesthood start? It already has, if you're in the family. Boom, that's part of the stars. You are in. Now, do you need training, instruction? Yes, but that's one of the status points. It says so right here. Actually, collectively now, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, not just a priesthood, not just a holy one, royal. It's royal because Jesus is the top priest, right? He's king. In the kingdom, some phrases here. Jesus is the king in the kingdom. There's only one king in the kingdom. We are priests in the kingdom of God. So it's a kingdom of priests. Some translate kings and priests. No, one king, all the rest are priests. Holy nation. Ah, that was given to Israel. It's given now to believers. Still called up, still separate, but that's as a group. It's part of the status. We are now God's people, receive mercy. Old Testament reference to that saying, once you're out, now you're in. Aliens, now you're not. And sons and daughters. And I just pause there. Just, if we don't even read the letter, if you believe these things, do you remember that this is where you now are? And for those of you looking, this is where I can be. There's no list like this anyplace else, and I'm not finished here. Before, used to be an alien, an exile. But just a second, Peter writes to exiles, and they're believers. So this idea of exile must mean something different. And yeah, you are in the world, and now you have a change of citizenship. No longer, your citizenship is in heaven. You will find holy and guarded by God. You saw that yesterday. So yeah, we're in a different place. We are in exile. We are sojourners on this earth. I am a sojourner and Canadian. That's just by definition, by showing up here. And there's other things. We now become subject to things. There's rules. There's principles. By definitions, we become servants because God serves. Jesus serves. So if the head of the household, now Jesus, we're all servants here. If you think that you're in here to get your feet washed every day, this isn't the place for you. Done it once, you're in there, your feet, now you go and do it to others. That's part of the job. Return sheep comes up here. That means some have been in and some have left. They said, I don't know, for whatever reason they've gone. This case, some have come back. Welcome him. You know, the sons are welcome. The shepherd, one sheep, back. So all those ideas in the Gospels, I think, come up in chapter 2. So that's a little bit in advance. Now, we'll get to reading, but I just want to read the very last segment here about the following Jesus' example, because that comes out explicitly in the text. To be a loyal disciple of Jesus is a worthy and high calling. Such following means doing, not just thinking. And verse 21, for to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. The text goes on to indicate specific instances in Jesus' life when he was reviled and struck, but did not retaliate. You can get them there. So, for a disciple to literally imitate Jesus' behavior, that is, not responding to the verbal abuse that he got, is not only doable, but expected. Now, other people might, but that's not me. Not according to this. This self-control, possible due to the trust in God, is to actually, not metaphorically, take place in real life. To me, this is scary because it's so clear. There's not much wiggle room and said, I wonder what this really means. So, let's have the reading of the text, and Jane has volunteered for us.
Chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builder rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using their freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Thank you. So, begins your study and action notes. You have the following words and so on like that. What do they mean? Write them in. You've got 10 minutes to do that. And also, to begin to put in your answers for 2, 3, and 4, that will prepare you for your